A few years ago, one of the kids in my online coaching program said to me, "Coach Rebecca, I wish we could just go to a gym and have you as our coach. We would all be so happy and so confident." And that warmed my heart, and I was like, "Oh my gosh, that would be the best." And that comment stuck with me for years. So now I'm going to do something about it. I am inviting gymnasts from all over the country to join me for the first ever Confident Gymnast Camp this August 3rd and 4th. This camp is all about breaking through mental blocks. So if you're struggling with a skill and you want me and my team to help you break through in real time, then check out confidentgymnast.com for details.
I would not have made it through. I would not have succeeded. I would not have accomplished what I accomplished if I didn't love the sport, first and foremost.
Riley Casanova, former two-time USAG national team member. She was also the team captain of the University of Michigan gymnastics team. Not only is she a gymnastics superstar, she's also a complete performance coaching superstar.
I will be a little bit vulnerable and honest. That's maybe a little bit of a weak spot that we had. And I guess I kind of wish that not just myself, but I kind of wish my parents fostered maybe a little bit more of just letting me fail. I became this adult, and to this day, I don't like failure. I don't know how to. Competing through like illness, injury, I think there are definitely times when I probably shouldn't have done that. Making sure you're surrounding yourself with the right people, the right support system, because finding either therapist, counselor, mental coach, athletes you look up to in your gym, or just good people around you that want what's best for you, I think that's like the first, biggest, most tangible thing that can be done when it comes to avoiding burnout.
So you've been through the old school coaching, the high pressure. What was it that allowed you to kind of stay composed and stay happy and have joy?
I mean, I think truly.
Hi guys, on today's podcast, I am interviewing one of our own, Coach Riley Casanova, who is one of our amazing mental coaches here at Complete Performance Coaching. And not only is she incredible at helping kids overcome mental blocks and learn how to perform under pressure, but she's got the experience to really inform her practice. She was the captain of the University of Michigan gymnastics team. She was a member of the U.S. national team as a junior, and she's got so much wisdom. But today we focused our chat on something that's been near and dear to her recently, which is preventing burnout. Which there are so many different things that can burn a kid out before they make it to their big dream. So we have got lots of great tips for you and just a, you know, a good conversation about how things are changing in our sport for the better that's going to help kids to go the distance. So here we go. Hi guys, welcome to a special episode of the Perform Happy podcast. Today, my guest is near and dear to my heart. Not only is she a gymnastics superstar, she is also a complete performance coaching superstar. She is one of our incredible coaches that has been, I was trying to do the math on how many kids you have helped through their mental blocks over the last 4 years. I can't even put a number on it, but Riley Casanova, welcome to the show. So nice to have you here.
Thank you. Gosh. Yeah. Well, when you put it that way, I mean, thank you for the wonderful intro. I wish I knew the numbers too. I guess I could find a way and go look, but man, that would, it's been a lot.
It's been a lot. And, you know, Riley was a former two-time USAG national team member. She was also the team captain of the University of Michigan gymnastics team. Go Blue. And,
yes.
and so she works with a lot of our higher level kind of college hopeful kiddos who are experiencing mental blocks, or a lot of the kids they send your way are ones that kind of choke under pressure, because that's one of your specialties too, is helping kids to find relaxation and hit when it matters. So, So many things we could talk about today. But I'd love to really gear a conversation toward this concept of burnout. Because for every little one like you out there, there's a hot shot who just, you know, the coaches had stars in their eyes when they saw you and were like, oh man, what can I get this kid to do? There are a lot of those kids who don't make it to college because they burn out and because they fall out of love with their sport. So I'd love to hear maybe a little bit of your story and kind of what kept you going. And then we can talk about how these kids can keep going themselves.
Yeah, that's such a great concept. And I guess I should say, like, obviously my story is just one story. You know, I feel like I also have to shout out and mention, first and foremost, to answer your question, who or what kept me going? Truly, it was my family. I have such wonderful parents. I feel like you should honestly ask them for, like, their perspective too. Maybe one day. I don't know if we can make that happen, but my parents were truly the driving force behind what not just kept me in the sport, but allowed me to, I think, reach my full potential. So first and foremost, having a great set of family. I know you can't always pick your family, but I think that leads me to my next, I guess, bullet point is making sure you're surrounding yourself with the right people, the right support system, because there are those people that you can choose. I know, you know, we might be limited to the coaches that we have at our gym, and like, depending on where you live, you know, it may not be as conducive to some of those things. But when it comes to, you know, finding some kind of either therapist, counselor, mental performance consultant, mental coach, like just trying to fill your network with good people. And I guess that's more speaking to the parents, but also if you're an athlete listening, you know, the friends who you hang out with too, try to like spend time with athletes you look up to in your gym, or just good people around you that want what's best for you. I think that's like the first biggest, most tangible thing that can be done when it comes to avoiding burnout.
Oh, that's such an interesting point, because I've heard a saying that you are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. And so just like a moment of introspection, I'm like, okay, I'm a 5-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a caveman. But, you know, but I do have people in my life who have similar goals and similar dreams, and people who are farther ahead of me that I can kind of, you know, get in their tailwind and ask them questions and have mentors. So I think that's a really important question for these kids to ask is, am I with the kids on the beam who are whining and complaining, or am I with the ones who already took 3 turns?
Right. Or even just being distracting, you know, just goofing around. And it's hard, you know, you still want to be a kid and have fun. Absolutely have fun. And I think that's part of, you know, avoiding burnout too, is making sure you're still finding joy and having fun in your sport, like making practices fun. And I guess that's a message for the coaches listening too. Make practices fun, you know, and I know even when you get to the higher up levels, like 8, 9, 10 plus, you know, sometimes it does get a little less fun. It does get really serious, but there's got to be some relief there too. You know, you got to keep these kids engaged and trying to make practice as fun as possible, play games with them, make it productive. Just because it's fun doesn't mean it's automatically a distraction or like taking away from a goal. Like you can do conditioning games, and like, there's just so many ideas out there. So that's another thing, I guess, to touch on too.
Absolutely. So, okay. So those are some of the things you maybe can't control. Like you can't always have the most fun coach.
Yeah.
You can't necessarily have the most amazingly supportive, naturally parent. Even the parents who care the most can sometimes cause problems. You know, myself included. I always walk into my kid's kindergarten class while she's hanging on my leg, and I'm like, it's me. Hi. Like, I know I'm the problem here. The reason that my kid is so clingy, I'm so sorry. But so we can't control those things necessarily, but what are some things that kids really can control that can help to prevent the burnout so they can go the distance in their sport?
Yeah, I think a big one, and this is someone, like I'm speaking from someone who is not good at this, even to this day. I am a natural people pleaser. I want everybody to be happy. I like peace. I don't like conflict. And so I think, you know, the concept of being able to say no to things, and what maybe an example of that is like if you're sick or hurt or sore or like beyond the level of discomfort, like when we're talking actual pain and stuff, you as the athlete get to decide what you're willing to put up with and what you're not willing to. And it's okay to say no. There are times when, I guess, looking back, there are times, I mean, you know, I guess everybody can have somewhat of a different threshold for that too. I will say there's times when I competed when I was injured, and am I proud of that? Yes. And was it worth it? Yes, sometimes, but other times it wasn't. So you really got to treat it case by case and just know yourself, learn yourself, and just build some awareness on what are the things that you're absolutely not willing to do for your sport. And like, when is it just time to say no? And, you know, parents and coaches, like not everybody else can tell you that. So as the athlete, I think that's one of the most tangible things you can control is what you're willing to put up with and what you're not.
Yeah. Well, and even bringing people into the communication around it. Like, did your coaches know that you were injured?
Absolutely. Great. Yeah. You got to be willing to at least put it out there and ask questions, ask for help. If you can't, and if you can't decide, talk to somebody else, get someone that you trust and someone who's on your team, on your side, who's going to listen to you and trust you. I mean, that's what we have, doctors, physical therapists, massage therapists, like we have these people. So yeah, use those people as well in your process of making that decision.
Totally. And even people on your team that you look up to. That, I mean, I love a good mentor relationship between upper levels and mid levels that, you might be able to. I see this in our in group trainings that I lead in Perform Happy, where the kids will kind of stay until the very end of the last question, and then she's like, "So my foot really hurts," and I'm like, "Okay, let's talk about this. Does your mom know? No. Does your coach know? No." I'm like, "Okay, thank you for telling me. This is amazing. Like you are, this is awesome because I have no skin in the game. Like I love you no matter if you compete or not. Like I just want you to be healthy." And so it is so important to have somebody neutral that you can be like, "So there's this thing," whoever that is for kids, I think it's really important just to think, who do you have that you can go to and just be totally honest with, and you're not gonna be afraid they're gonna like steal your dream from you.
Right, or judge you, or take it to a place that it doesn't need to go.
Hey guys, quick announcement break. Right now, we at Complete Performance Coaching are looking for 5 athletes who are ready to break through their mental blocks for good. If that sounds like you or your child, then sign up for a free consultation call with one of my amazing coaches as soon as possible to see if you're a good fit for our Perform Happy Elite training program. This program includes one-on-one coaching with the world's top mental performance coaches, plus tons of support for athletes and their parents in between sessions. You can sign up today at completeperformancecoaching.com/consult. Talk to you soon. Okay. So definitely communication, making sure that you are listening to your body. What are some other things that you have been seeing in kids that you work with that have been really helpful and, just preventing that burnout, keeping the body working properly?
Yeah, I think again, like I'm lucky in the sense of I think a lot of my athletes have a lot of really great parents who've also invested their time in trying to find those resources. So trying to find good doctors and even parents, like oddly enough, I have the first athlete that you like you said that brings me to think about is her mom is actually like certified, and I wish I could remember what it was, but it is something to do with like mobility training, so like joint mobility. So not I don't think it's chiropractics or anything, but just the fact that a lot of like there are parents that have just taken the time to get themselves versed in like not maybe it doesn't have to be a certification, but just like brushing up on some like tips and knowledge. So like maybe you can even if you're not the one like treating your child, like you at least know the signs of what to look for. Maybe when the kid is off or not feeling well or hurting, like I don't know if that answers your question, but that's like where my mind went when it comes
Yeah,
to
totally.
success.
And what about sleep? How important is sleep?
Oh gosh, yeah. I could talk about sleep all day, and I want to give some credit to a book that I read recently that's really shifted my entire perspective about it, and that's Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. If anyone who's listening, I don't know the guy. I'm not sponsored in any way, but I read the book, and it's truly fantastic. It's I'm more of an adult read, so obviously more so for the parents listening than the younger athletes. But there's just so much tangible knowledge when it comes to sleep. I mean, Matthew talks about not just hours of sleep and what we need. I think it's pretty widely known that the average hours of sleep we need is 8 hours, but he talks about how do you get that quality sleep too? And I think that's kind of the other thing we don't necessarily dive as much deep into because we think, oh, if I go to bed at this time and wake up at this time, that means I always get quality sleep. And that's not necessarily the case. So, just making sure you have good sleep habits. And like I said, I could open up a whole rabbit hole there, but sleep is like one of the most tangible, fixable, adjustable things that you can use to up your game. And there's so much other research to support that too, not just Matthew Walker himself, but it's
Yes,
just so widely
absolutely.
known.
That's why, like, one of the first questions that I ask kids, and probably you too, is how many hours of sleep do you get on the average night? Because that will tell me, I mean, when they say 6 to 7, I go, that's the number one reason why you're afraid, period. If you got 9 hours, you probably get your skills back. Like, and I'll just be straight. I'm like, we got to control all the controllables first. Are you being emotionally abused? Are you getting enough sleep? Like, after we've gotten those two out of the way, then we can start working on, the mental side, because those are the
Absolutely.
things that it's like you just move the boulder out of your path when you're getting enough sleep and you're in a nurturing environment.
Absolutely. And I think that's something just to mention too, beyond just being an athlete. That's just, this is just for being a person, for being a human being. Everybody, like, no one is immune, whether you want to be a world-class athlete or just a person who works at a desk, like, we all need it. So I don't know if that goes to show how important it is. It's for everybody. It's not just for athletes too.
Yeah, I have been on the Pilates reformer post six hours of sleep and been like, why am I so weak? Why? And I was like, bad mood. Everything was hard. I like hated myself. When I got off, I was like, oh yeah, I didn't have a good breakfast and I didn't get enough sleep. And I literally sleep enough and eat a good breakfast and I am a machine. I am so strong. I am so positive. I like, it's really kind of cool. Just like that mind-body connection.
Totally
do those things. Okay, so now what about the parents? What role? So you have these magical parents who I've just got to get the Casanovas onto my podcast one of these days and figure out the secret. But what do you see with the kids that you work with, like on the good side and on the not good side that sort of affects an athlete's love for the sport?
Yeah, I think starting with the good side, I think just this is going to sound bad, but like leaving the kid alone. What a concept.
She said it. She said it, everybody.
Leaving the kid alone sometimes, you know, especially at least within the confines of when it comes to mental performance training, you know, I'm big on confidentiality. Like that's number one to me, ethically speaking. And I see, you know, a lot of success when the parents just let their kids, you know, we meet, we talk, and they don't ask me a ton of questions about like, what did y'all talk about? Are you seeing progress? Like they're not hounding me for all these questions. And I will say maybe on the flip side, I understand the drive behind a parent wanting to ask questions and ask for updates and see how things are going. But sometimes I think asking like maybe those questions too early, like after the first session, you know, sometimes it's just a little bit like, okay, we need to like let this stuff sink in. And that's why, you know, our program is great because I like the model of us working every other week, especially when the kids are really young. I can see sometimes we're meeting maybe once a week can also benefit depending on age and level. But like, I think allowing your kid just that time to adjust, learn, grow, develop, and apply what we talk about, and just letting the kid do that and not intervening, not asking like so many questions. That's where I see success. And on the flip side, obviously it's the opposite. It's just asking way too many questions too fast and like just putting too much emotional investment. And almost like, you know, that's the stereotypical helicopter parent or living through your kid. I've seen like cases where that doesn't always, but it comes from a good place. I totally understand. I'm not trying to like bash a parent for caring, but sometimes too much of a good thing isn't a good thing. And I think maybe that's where I'll round that out.
Yes, I know it's tough because like, yeah, less is more is typically when I say when in doubt, less is more. Mm-hmm. And what I'm hearing and what you're saying and a lot of the coaching that we give parents in the community, it's all about finding a growth mindset. And that's what we're helping these kids do. So we're helping them go from, I need it now. I have to be perfect. I have to do it or else I got to find a quick fix so that I can maintain this appearance of talent, which can be just so corrosive, which I feel like is a lot of kind of old school gymnastics. Like just look good. Don't look hurt. Don't look mental.
Yeah.
You got to fake it. Like pretend you're talented and then hopefully you can pull it together and chuck something that feels dangerous.
Yeah.
Versus
it's unfortunate.
It is. And I think now more people know that there's a different way, but when the kid gets their growth mindset in place, then they go, oh, a setback. What can I learn?
Yeah.
Hey, a struggle. This is valuable.
Yeah.
I embrace challenges. I like a challenge. I'm good with challenges. They like embrace the road and they get in the present and they start being in the journey and finding these little improvements along the way. Meanwhile, parents are in the back going, did you get it yet? Did you get it yet? Did you get it yet? And it's like, whoa, we got to come back onto the road, parents. We're embracing the struggle. We're here in this learning opportunity.
Yeah.
So, and so I'm curious, did your parents embody a growth mindset in the way they supported you?
Yeah. You know, and I guess I will be a little bit vulnerable and honest. And I think that's maybe a little bit of a weak spot that we had. And, you know, obviously we've talked about my career since I've like graduated college and done the whole, you know, national team thing. So something that I guess I kind of wish that not just myself, but I kind of wish my parents fostered maybe a little bit more of was just letting me fail a little bit. I feel like maybe once I, because I was, again, grateful and lucky and had, you know, a really successful athletic career, once that was over, I, you know, I became this adult. And like, to this day, I kind of still don't know. I don't like failure. You know, I don't know how to. When like a friend, for example, like when a friendship fails, or when I fail at something like in my work, or I mess up or say something wrong, like sometimes I guess I still don't quite know how to always handle that. And I wish that's something I learned just a lot earlier. So again, not throwing my parents under the bus. We have a great relationship. They're good. But that's maybe something that, and I don't think they quite even, because they didn't do gymnastics growing up. So they were just kind of winging it too, and just doing the best that they could and trying to make me better than them. I guess that's what every parent wants, but maybe just like allowing your kids to fail, let them mess up and let them figure it out on their own a little bit. Obviously, if they come to you and ask for your wisdom and advice, like share it, but like not everything, you don't need to like try to fix everything. It's some things are fixable, but you don't necessarily need to like be a part of every last little fixing process, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now I'm curious what you think. It was all totally hypothetical, but mm-hmm. let's say that your parents, your magical parents, who we appreciate them and love them just how they are, but yes. Let's just say that they let you fail a little bit more, a little bit younger. Mm. Do you think that that could have prevented your success? Like, do you think that they, or do you think it could have, you know, what, let's just imagine for a moment what that might have been like.
Yeah, that's such a great question. You know, I mean, honestly, I don't know. My first gut reaction, I think it might have affected me in some ways, but in others, like maybe negative in some ways, but in others, maybe like a net positive. I think net positive, it probably would have been, I would have been just fine. I think I would have turned out, you know, great, just fine. I would be where I am today. I still think if I had failed a little bit more, and maybe looking back, like, I did have some failures, but they just weren't maybe as big as maybe they could have been. And maybe I need to look at the definition of like failure and what that means too. Maybe I need a little bit more of a specific like concept behind that. But no, I think I would have been fine, honestly. And I think maybe I'd be able to cope better now as an adult and as someone with like a life beyond the sport. Yeah, I don't know. That's such a hard question to answer, but I think the answer is maybe a little bit of yes and a little bit of no, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, and I put that out there because I think the main reason why people are so afraid of failure is they think that they won't get their big dream. Mm-hmm. You know, that if I fail when I'm young, I'm going to get off this perfect straight beam that I have to be on in order to make it to that, you know, big college and get that big scholarship and get that big leadership position. Everything has to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And I can't fail. And I talked to a woman who specialized in self-compassion and studied under Kristen Neff. And she did research that showed that if you cut yourself more slack, you are more successful, not less, which yeah. I think there's this, it's like a risk of if I'm kind to myself and if I allow myself to be imperfect, I allow myself to be human, like I'm not going to be as good, you know, or I won't push as hard. I know there's kids on my group training that I talk to them about self-compassion and they're like, I can't risk that, coach. I got to be amazing. I have to push. Mm. So like, what's your take on the idea of, you know, can you push and still have a, you know, a healthy relationship with yourself and with perfection and with failure and still get to that end, you know, that finish line?
Yeah.
Is there a balance?
I think now that when you put it that way, thinking like about the big stuff, I think yes. Big dream, if you want to go to college or if you want to go to heck, the Olympics or be on the national team or whatever big thing that you want at the end of the day, I think yes, absolutely. Now maybe if it's something maybe short term, like I want to win the state meet, or I just, you know, I want to compete in this meet, but my body hurts, like something hurts. I think maybe that's the difference. And I think maybe that's more of the scale I want to clarify maybe a little bit now, more now, since thinking about that, you know, I guess using the example of like competing through like illness, injury, I think there are definitely times when I probably shouldn't have done that. But there are also some times where I'm really proud that I did that. Like when it really, really mattered, like there are certain times where I'm like, yeah, no, that was the right choice for me. I don't regret it. I would do it again. But other times probably shouldn't have done that. You know, and again, case by case, maybe on those more like minute, like short-term situations and removing it from like the big picture, that's where I think the harm can be done too. But like long-term big picture failures contribute, like that's where we find success too. Like that is growth mindset. So I think in fact failure is necessary. So and maybe I think it's almost like get them out of the way when you're younger. Like do that when you're younger and not when you're okay, when you're in college, you know, frankly. So yeah. If you get to pick the time frame of when you're gonna make your mistakes, I would say younger is better.
Absolutely. Then you get resilient. Then you learn to bounce back. You have a big devastating embarrassment in fourth grade. You're going to come back from it. I have personal experience that can guarantee this for you.
Yes.
And if, you know, if your parent forgets to pack your goggles and you have a swim meet, it's better to have it happen when you're 11 than when it's the Olympics, you know?
Exactly. Because when you learn it that young, your mom or dad or yourself will never let that happen again. Guarantee you that. So.
Yep, exactly. And I think that's part of like the snowplow parenting thing where it's a balance of, yes, you want to set your kid up for success, but also setting your kid up for success involves allowing them to make choices and make sometimes the wrong choices and then come back to you and learn the lesson and then move forward together versus, you know, parents always making the decision for you. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's all very interesting because we'll never know if there was, you know, any difference. And obviously you turned out amazing. So
thank you.
I have to get your parents on here to really figure out what happened.
Sure.
What worked.
Great.
But so, okay. So you've been through the old school coaching mentality, like the high pressure, high results. And I would say worked for you.
Yeah.
Right? Like you were able to navigate a fairly tough mental environment and do it successfully. What was it that allowed you to kind of stay composed and stay happy and have joy?
Oh man. I mean, I think truly the love for the sport trumped everything. I would not have made it through. I would not have succeeded. I would not have accomplished what I accomplished if I didn't love the sport first and foremost. And it was like, I voluntarily wanted to be there. I wanted to be in the gym every day. I wanted to try to be the best. I don't think I was the best, but I feel like I reached my potential and I feel like I was my best that I could be, for as much as I could, you know? So yeah, I think you have to intrinsically love what you're doing. And I think that's where the question comes up. You know, in gymnastics, when you have to specialize at it so young and you kind of have to know very early on how far you want to go and how far you want to take it, it's really hard to like, as a kid, know what you want to do. But I just knew in my heart, and not just in my heart, like I knew like I had strengths that like suited me towards the sport, you know, being a smaller girl, you know, never grew taller than 5'1", you know, I kind of fit the profile and that helped too. But I just love the sport above everything else. Cause I let my parents know, like there were times I didn't like it. And that's where my parents stepped in and they were like, okay, cool. If you want to quit, if you want to move on, if you want to do something else, that's fine. But you got to finish your commitment. I remember in level 5, I don't remember if it was my first or second year of level 5. But I remember I wanted to quit. Like it was like halfway through the season. Like I don't even remember why. Like I'd have to ask my parents why. And I'm sure they could tell me, but I wanted to quit. And my dad was like, all right, that's fine. However, you quit when the season's over. Quitting, like we don't quit in the middle of the season. Not only did you make a commitment to yourself, but your teammates too. And I think also part of that, and this is me speculating now as an adult, but it's probably also, I paid for the Leo, I paid for the meet registrations and I paid for our travel. So you're finishing the season.
So we're going, kiddo.
But, you know, but at the same time, obviously, and as a kid, I didn't understand that. I didn't know that, but looking back and then, okay, so come to find out, like, so I said, I wanted to quit. He said, okay, you can just wait till the end of the season. Let's just get through this, survive. You don't have to perform well, even just compete, just go to the meets. And then, you know, I was upset for a while, like maybe a week, 2 weeks. You know, lots of tears. But then one day, like a couple weeks later, my dad asked me again, you know, he's like, hey, just checking in, like, how are things going? Do you still want to quit? Like, he was like scared. And I was like, dad, like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm so offended you're even asking me that. Like, I love gymnastics, you know? So I think just like, that's just one little anecdote that makes me laugh now. And, but at the time it felt so serious and like my life was over and, you know, I didn't want to do it anymore. So I think that's just another thing to keep in mind with kids. Like, just, it's okay to like ask those questions, check in, don't pressure, let them decide. But also you can teach them commitment without, you know, forcing them to do something beyond that, you know?
Absolutely. And that's how we roll in my house too. It's we set a commitment. So before we sign up for softball, you know that this goes all the way till May. And are you willing to show up, you know, twice a week until May? And if it's a yes, it's a yes. And if you're crying in the car, like, I love you, I hear you,
and I'll be there for you.
Yeah, I'll pick you up in an hour.
Yep. And we'll get through it together. Like, you're not alone, dude. Like,
yes. You know? But there is that opting in. I think that's so critical that they do have to, like, we have to have that moment where we're like, are you in or are you out? And they go, I'm in. You go, okay. You know, like when they're signing you up for those meets, it's like, we're in this thing. And then, but then to have those check-ins, I think is kind of important just to go like, are you in? Okay. Then I support you. In.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it's maybe not ever like the every single day, you know, I mean, I don't know the magic number. I don't know the magic frequency, but parents, like, I can't say, I don't have children, so I don't necessarily know exactly what that's like, but I mean, these parents, they know their kids so well. Trust your instincts. Like, just like I would tell an athlete to trust their instincts. Like, you as a parent, like, trust your instincts. If something seems really off with your kid, obviously ask. I mean, I'm not going to tell you not to ask, but, sometimes it's just about figuring out, okay, is this a good time or is this not a good time? I feel like most parents, you'll know if you listen to what your kid is saying when they tell you something once, and then, you know, assessing one day from the next, just what's the mood, what's the vibe today, and how are they leading practice? What's their body language? Like, all of that stuff. I mean, parents, you know your kid, so go with that.
But then there's this one little thing that parents like to do, is they're like, do you want to quit? Wait, do you even want to do this anymore? And so I would never advise a parent to lead with that question. It's more like those great open-ended questions of how are you doing? How is it feeling? You know,
I agree.
Anything that's just not a yes or no that allows them to sort of explore their own feelings around things.
Right.
But if they want to quit, they will tell you, I want to quit. And if they're not using those words, don't assume, because it gives the kids this feeling like you don't believe in them. That's what I hear a lot from kids.
And that is an experience that I had in college. I can totally agree with and speak to, because I'm not trying to out this person because they are a professional, like a sports psychologist, but basically, like, they confronted me with that question and I was like, wait a second, why are you asking me that? Like, that's not why I'm here. I'm in too deep. I'm in college. Like, no. I don't need your permission to quit because I don't want it. But anyway, so like, it just goes to show, like, that kind of question. Yeah. At least from, like, I don't know, very personal, but
yeah. Well, and it's like, wait, you don't think I can do this is sort of what I hear a lot of people. They feel like, why would my mom tell me I should stop? Like, does she not think I can get over this fear? Yep. Parents are like, no. I just want you to know that there's no pressure and it's fine. But it's a delicate thing. Whereas if the kid's saying, I want to quit, like, that's the time to have those conversations over many sleeps. And, you know, maybe the rest and probably the rest of the season. And
Right. After the injury heals, like, quit on a good day. Like, when you have a good day and you're still upset, that's when, okay, you know, when you're winning the medals and like, you're not enjoying it still. Okay. That's kind of a big sign.
But, and it's interesting to hear you say that even the day where someone else would be like, are you done? You're like, no, I'm just looking for a solution, lady.
Right.
I'm just like, just getting over this hump. This hump feels really hard.
Yeah.
And there's a big difference between having a hard year, you know, a hard season, a hard month, a hard whatever, and not loving your sport.
Yeah. Yep.
There's a difference for sure.
Totally.
So, okay. So I would love to know if you could advise 12-year-old Riley, like, top formula for success. What's the most important piece of advice or the most important thing that you definitely would want her to have as she embarks on this big journey of gymnastics?
Okay. I have at least one thing. And I think that's just keep showing up. Just show up. Not every day is meant to be fantastic. Show up anyway. Show up. And I think one of the best things I ever did, and I'm so glad, again, this is where my parents came in. This is where my coaches came in. I went to practice when I had a cast on my arm and a boot on my foot at the same time. And I still showed up. I didn't do that much, but I was there. And I think just keep showing up. Whatever that means for you, if you're motivated to show up for yourself, that's great. But if you're a gymnast or you're another sport and it means showing up for your teammates, great. Whatever gets you there, keep showing up to practice, just be there. And do what you can. I think that was the other thing that kind of that piggybacks on that is even if you can't do everything, and this is more like injury, I guess, focused. But even on like days when, if you're just maybe not even mentally there, at least physically be there and just do what you can with what you have. I mean, it's simple as that. I think that's one of the biggest things that I just kept doing. Now, obviously if you're like sick or hospitalized, I hope everybody can read between the lines on that. Please don't. Yeah, please don't. Please don't do that. But like for the most part, unless it's those things, like there shouldn't be much of a reason to not go. Or heck, show up to a part of practice, even if you can't be there the whole time for whatever commitment or reason, or again, injury, like take care of yourself, obviously, but keep showing up. And if all you can do is cheer on your other teammates or help your coaches or move mats or just be a presence in the gym, like if all you can do is stretch, like if that's it, that's it. And be cool with it. And then that way, when you heal and get better, you will not feel 1 ounce of guilt. So just act in service of just keep showing up every day. I really think that's probably the best thing I could say. I don't know.
Well, I think that's great advice, again, for humans, for all humans. I mean, that is the answer to everything great I have ever done in my life. Is just keep showing up. And yeah. I don't know about you, but I've had fear all along the way. All of these, like, am I really going to go to grad school? Okay, that's so scary. What if I fail? Am I going to start a business? That's so scary. What if I fail? I'm going to get married. That's so scary. What if I fail? I'm going to have kids. Gosh, what if I fail? Like all the same stuff that lived inside of me as a gymnast lives inside of me as a human.
Ooh, and that's deep.
And the way I've gotten through those hardest things is literally like, just do the reading and show up to class tomorrow. Even if it feels totally overwhelming and like it's too hard and you just can't do it and you can't have a good attitude about it. Okay, do the reading and go tomorrow.
Do it anyway. Yeah. And like, if you can't have a good attitude, then just don't spread that to other people. Just keep your mouth
shut and sit in the front row and just don't say anything.
Yeah, just be there. Just exist. Just survive. Be present. Sometimes it's just about survival, and that's where I know it's not going to be fun. Those are the days. There's going to be days it's not fun. It's just a matter of, okay, how do I just survive this dang practice? How do I survive this coach yelling at me? Sometimes, I mean, that is a little bit old school, I know, but that's just what kept me going. And I think what balanced that out is the love. Now, if you have lost love for your sport, again, separation, like trying to see it, make a choice depending on those things. I think that's kind of where it there's a line that separates that. So,
yeah. And that's a good point that you could see, I love my sport. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tune out the garbage that is being yelled at me right now, because I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to own that. Right. I'm going to take from that what's technically helpful and then move forward and improve myself, which not every 12-year-old has the ability to do, nor should they really have to. But again, like that's a life skill. You're going to have a jerk boss at some point that you're going to be like, I'm not taking this personally. I'm not taking this personally. Okay. I'm going to go do my job. And like, sorry, that guy's having a bad day. Mm-hmm. There's going to be people, again, one of those not controllables.
Yeah.
Learn to be like, all right, well, let's take some deep breaths and survive this conversation. And how can I go be of service to my team? How can I show up for myself? How can I improve even in an environment that's not perfect? I mean, I think that's a skill that we can't discount.
Yeah. And I think the other thing, just based on what you said, remembering the big picture of things too. Like, is this one day where I'm upset? Like, is this going to matter in a year? And I don't think, like, I wish that's something I also learned earlier too. So going back to your question of like 12-year-old Bradley, I really wish I had taken that on. I think I learned that like in college. I actually had a teammate who said that to me, and I will always remember like that little nugget because of her. It was the question of, Briley, will this matter in 5 minutes or a year? Like,
yeah,
no. Most of the time, the answer is no. Even if it's an injury, even if it's, you know, a coach, I don't know, exiling you, or like they kick you out of the gym one day. Like, I know coaches still do that. Like, I don't understand. Anyway,
if they do, bye.
side note. But anyway, like when anything, like in the immediate moment, it's going to sting, it's going to burn, it's going to be painful and emotional. But like asking the question of, is this going to matter in a year? Like, is at the end of the season, like, is my coach going to even remember this? Am I going to remember this? Like, is this really that big of a deal for my like long-term future? I think maybe subconsciously that's something I kind of understood when I was younger, but I didn't have that actual example of like the question being asked, will this matter in the long term? You know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. And even if you consider that like the hardest moments of life that people go through, you know, there's always going to be a moment where you go, whew, that was crazy. Like a year later, 2 years
yeah,
later,
sure.
There's going to be a moment. Like, and we get to have that perspective as grownups. We're not, you know, we're a little farther removed from 12 these days, me more than you, but they like, we can look back and go, wow, whew, that was intense.
That was a time. Yeah.
All right. Let's go have dinner, you know, like,
yeah.
And then life continues to move forward. So I think that's a great thing too, is just to keep it all in perspective. Parents.
Yeah.
If they forget their goggles for the swim meet, they're, you know, it'll be a good laugh later on in life. And that's the extent of it.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Like one day. Yeah. It's going to be like funny. Like, oh, you forgot your goggles last year, but now look at you. Like, you're great, you know.
You don't even swim anymore and you've always got goggles in your purse, you know. You'll never forget them.
Right. Oh my gosh. Oh man, so many. Oh, that brings back memories. Whew. There have been many a time where I've like either almost forgotten my grips or the grips have broke. Oh man, like we could go down a rabbit hole. But anyway.
But yet you didn't think about those today, right? During the course of your life, somehow the crisis has passed.
Nope, I'm all right. Life's good. And you know what? Even in college, like I'll let everybody in on a couple secrets. There were times when I was like a full-grown adult, 18 to 21 years old, where I forgot, like, I think like my team jacket or a t-shirt or a sweatshirt or something. And like, we plan for those things too. Like we have contingencies, there's extras. Like, it's okay. My goodness. I mean, we're all fallible.
Nobody's perfect. Yep. But if you can bounce back with a smile and go grab the spare, that's a little too short and a little too long.
And maybe like really run fast so your coach doesn't see it. Okay. Like, I mean, like, sorry.
And then you laugh about it and you move on. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, gosh, if Bev Plocky's ever listening, I'm sorry. Yes, I did that. I'm sorry, but
it happened. That happened.
And, you know, thank God for our assistants who came in clutch for me. So otherwise, you know, oh, what will we do without them? But
exactly. Yes. Well, Briley, this has been such a pleasure. I know we could chat all day, but thank you so much for being here today and for inspiring kids through this and also through your work. You're incredible. Thank you again.
Thank you. Wow. This has been a pleasure. It's so fun. I want to do this all the time. This is great.
I know. We'll do like a weekly show. But your parents are going to be our first guest.
Okay. Yes. Oh my gosh. I'll let them know.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you, Briley.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me for this week's episode of the Perform Happy Podcast. If you're ready to unlock your maximum sport potential, head over to performhappy.com and join us. You'll be training alongside world champion athletes and Olympic hopefuls. And I will personally take you through my research-based system for overcoming fear and mental blocks, building confidence, and finding your flow. I'm Coach Rebecca Smith, and I'll see you next time.